Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Darren Parkinson, and I'm here with my co-host, Alex Stoker.
Hey, everyone.
And we are Biz Radio U, pushing knowledge further by spotlighting the best in business. How are you doing today, Alex?
Doing fine. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. 75 was interesting this morning. Must have been a...
Traffic was a nightmare, definitely, for sure.
Yeah, I just hope everyone's all right because it was pretty bad. But blessings go out to their families. So how was your week?
It's pretty good. You know, I'm just, again, every Friday just trying to wrap things up so that I have a kind of semi-relaxing weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't had one of those in a while. We got the one of the Entrepreneurship Center retreats this weekend and looking forward to it.
I heard about that.
Yeah, not a lot of information on it. Chris Hanks at his finest. His minimal viable product of a retreat the first time, and we're going to see how it goes.
But yeah, I'm sure it's going to be great.
Yeah, I trust that man, so I think it's going to be great.
Yep.
And we are lucky to have two really interesting guests here today. We have Brian Keller with Keller Guitars, and we also have
Joe Guthrie
here with Avrion.
Avrion LLC.
And how are you doing today, guys?
Doing great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, doing well. Thank you.
So, can you tell us a little about you and your company there, Joe?
Avrion started in 2010. It was sort of just the natural progression of what I had been doing prior to that. So I started very early on, I mean, probably when I was a kid, always hustling, always trying to find ways to make money. And I remember when I was in high school, I would draw and sell the drawings on the bus for a little money, or buy candy and sodas on the way to school and put them in my book bag and sell those for, you know, like four times markup. So when I came here to college, I was interested in cars, started a car club, and that really took off. Mm-hmm. And I got to know cars really well, and people would bring their cars to me. Mm-hmm. I'd work on their cars, and so I didn't want to commingle the funds, my funds that I was receiving from people paying me for the cars. So I spun that off into a business. First year, I think we did like $3,000 in revenue. Second year, though, we did like $125,000. Mm. Third year, I mean, by fourth year, we were doing $1 million or $1.2 million. Sold that company. And from there, people just, they knew me in the industry. I was known as sort of an expert in starting businesses, and so people would come to me and say, "Hey, I'm thinking about starting this business. Can you help me with that? Or I want to do this on the side or whatever." So I realized that I could make money by helping people start their own businesses. So I did that for a while, and was picked up by another company. I was the third employee. I was one of the founding employees. We got $10 million in funding and revenue, sold that company, and then thought, you know, this is what I was going to do, for myself and, you know, for business. So started Avrion Consulting in 2010 and have been doing that since. Mm-hmm.
And the company you said you worked prior for and sold, which company was that?
That was Pipeline Micro.
Pipeline Micro. Okay. And just to go back, you said that you've just always been a hustler and had that mindset. Can you just elaborate a little more on that and what you define as a hustler?
So I grew up extremely poor. I mean, we were very poor. Like, we had absolutely nothing to eat. There were times that my brother and I would go a couple of days without eating. So we would have to figure out how to get food. So we would go to Piggly Wiggly or, you know, whatever. Yeah. That's what it was in Savannah. And we would scrounge their samples. So always just trying to find ways to make things happen for myself. There was one time when I wanted a bike, and I was 13 and family couldn't afford the bike. So I devised a plan, wrote a business plan for it, What it was selling pecans, mm-hmm. Or pecans, depending
on... what age were you with?
That was probably like 13 or so.
13, writing your first business plan.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. You know, the bike was like 80 or 90 bucks. Uh-huh. I went out and picked pecans and shelled them and bagged them and then stood on the side of the road through October and November and sold them until I had, you know, like 210 bucks. So like I said, just always trying to figure out how to make things happen for mm-hmm. myself.
Yeah. So I guess what you're saying is it's never too early to start a business.
Absolutely not. Yeah. I mean, I was 18 when I started my first official business, and people would ask me, you know, why are you starting a business? What do you know about starting a business? I didn't know anything, but I knew that it's what I wanted to do, mm-hmm. and it was going to get me where I wanted to be. So I knew I could figure it out.
Yeah. It's, Christopher Hanks introduced in our class an interesting statistic. That more funds correlate with less success. So basically, I mean, in essence, like you just described, one of the key pillars of being a successful entrepreneur is creating something with limited resources and just doing, and hustling, like you said. Yep. So it's incredible to actually see it, like, you know, take place. I literally just heard that in the classroom and I can see it happen now.
Yep.
That's incredible.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. So, and just to jump over, Brian Keller.
Yeah. So I got started with entrepreneurship when I started a painting company in high school. I did that for about 4 years. Mm-hmm. And then I started onto my next venture, which is Keller Guitars. That's the current venture. It's guitar manufacturing, acoustic, electric guitars, mm-hmm. high quality, professional grade, so that you can play on stage, record in the studio, or just play with your friends. And these guitars are specifically designed for worship leaders or Christian artists. They all have a Bible verse engraved onto them, giving the guitar a little bit more meaning.
It's definitely unique. So what got you to make the jump from painting to guitars?
So I've loved playing guitar since I was about 8. I've played guitar for quite a while now. And I really just wanted to revolve a business around something that I loved, which was music. And then I being able to also correlate that with my faith and being able to, you know, display the Bible verses on them was a really unique way to do, you know, two things that I love. I also lead worship at my church. And mm-hmm. when I went to buy a professional grade acoustic guitar,
right?
Honestly, I just didn't find something that really had a lot of meaning to me. Mm-hmm. So I decided to create a Keller guitar, which is designed to give a little bit more meaning to those worship artists.
Yeah, that's great. Because I mean, I'll be honest, I don't know much about guitars, but when I see somebody with a guitar, it looks like a piece of them. And I mean, some of these artists that sell their guitars, is a reason that they go for so much money is because it's like a part of them. It's part of their history, and it speaks a lot. So what you're doing sounds absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it's been exciting. It's very new, but mm-hmm. very exciting.
Yeah,
it's definitely a rewarding craft to be making.
Yeah,
yeah. And you mentioned that you're still in the startup phase, and you're still right now looking at funding. What sources are you looking at right now?
So right now we're currently on Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. We're doing a little bit of crowdfunding to get our initial capital. Mm-hmm. We have a couple different, you know, things that we're looking at for that initial investment. But the Kickstarter is our main way to get pre-orders. And then once we hit our minimum order quantity, we'll go ahead and place the order, get all the manufactured, and get them out to mm-hmm. our initial customers.
So what's your experience been like with that? If you can describe the process just a little bit.
It's been awesome. So myself, I'm... you know, pushing the business. I work with professional luthiers to mm-hmm. craft these high quality pieces. They're amazingly beautiful. They sound awesome. Way better than anything I can make on my own. So yeah. These professional luthiers really know what they're doing. On my aspect, I get to really, I believe, do all the fun stuff. Mm-hmm. I get to, you know, choose what verses are on it, choose the different colors and styles, and then just pass that on to my customers where they get to kind of choose some of those things as well.
So is it just you on your end, or do you have a group of friends that are working with you?
So Keller Guitars, I do a lot of contracting. So I have the luthiers themselves are contracted out.
Right.
And then I do have help doing marketing and sales. But I am currently the only owner of Keller Guitars.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Well, so something that really like resonates me with entrepreneurs, it's not about having an idea, it's about the execution. So what pivotal point was it where you said, I want to start this company and this is what I want to do? When did that happen?
So there was a transition between painting and Keller guitars, where mm-hmm. I worked at Ashley Furniture, actually selling furniture for about a year. And it made pretty good money. It got me through school and whatnot. And during that time, I was able to just brainstorm a bit mm-hmm. about what I love to do, what I could see myself doing in the future. And it was about a four-month period where I was just brainstorming ideas. And mm-hmm. once I thought of Keller guitars, I then was working at Ashley to build a little bit of seed capital just to get the prototype done, to get, you know, everything legally standing correctly, mm-hmm. Get a little bit of marketing funds. So I had a goal of raising $10,000 just of excess capital to kind of live on and begin building Keller guitars. So once I hit that goal, I left mm-hmm. Ashley, executed Keller guitars, made that prototype. Found all these different suppliers and whatnot mm-hmm. and just decided to, you know, go head first into Keller Guitars.
Wow. And for you, Joe, what was that pivotal point where you decided to turn this into a company?
I had so many people coming mm-hmm. to me asking for advice. It just made sense. And it's interesting that you mentioned action and execution. I preach about that mm-hmm. all the time to the people that that I speak with or the companies that I work with. So my story really is a story of action, right? Mm-hmm. So ideas are cheap, and you know, action is the valuable part mm-hmm. of that. So when people they continue to come to me asking me for advice, so I thought, This is the thing that I need to do.
Yeah, and it's one thing just to give advice, and obviously, I mean, your background just sounds like you have a huge expertise at it. But going from the transition from just helping some friends out, helping people you know, to turning into a business and bringing in capital, how did that transition happen?
At first, when you first start out, especially in consulting or any kind of service like mm-hmm. that, you really have zero credibility. Yeah. So you have to get your name out there somehow. The easiest way to do that is to give away your services. Right. So what I did was I worked with nonprofits or, you know, small companies or, you know, things like that, and just said, hey, I'll write your business plan, or I'll help you guys put together operational processes, or I'll work on your taxes or whatever it was in return for a good review, or in return for, you know, recommending me to someone else. Mm-hmm. So I recognized that I had no credibility at that time, mm-hmm. aside from, you know, the couple of businesses that I had started, but did some things for free, and it worked out well with those mm-hmm. companies and people, and they started recommending me. So it was really organic and word of mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. That's funny you say that. One thing we just recently learned out is bootstrapping. And basically, I mean, currency is just a concept, and your knowledge and skills, that's another form of currency, and that's a form of bootstrapping. And just seeing it happen here, it's brilliant. I love it. And so do you have any, interesting stories, key stories with any people that you started up with that you just, you know, just kind of stood out to you when you were first starting up?
When I was first starting up, well, I learned very early on mm-hmm. that customer service and treating the customers like your most valuable asset. I mean, that's key. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't any one situation. It was just, it was those first, you know, three or four companies or customers that I worked with, and providing as much value as mm-hmm. I could to them so that they had a great experience and wanted to go out and be, you know, quote unquote, raving fans of mine.
Yeah. Wow. That's that's amazing. And also, I guess just, I'm just a little it's just really exciting for me. This like really resonates with me because it's very similar to the things that I'm doing. And it's just,
I have a question real quick, if you don't mind. So you mentioned that you started off and you worked with a lot of different people and essentially started off just trying to get good reviews. So, I mean, you treated your customers, like you said, like a valuable asset. So obviously that helped you build a pretty good network. How would you say, you know, that network's helped you since then?
Yeah, I would say almost any entrepreneur or business person, your network is absolutely key. I probably haven't gotten anywhere or had the successes that I have without having built the network that I have. So it's absolutely, absolutely key to you know, people like us or entrepreneur success.
Right. You know, especially, you know, the reason that we even have this radio show was through networking, you know, through our school and the entrepreneurship program, especially. And then we were able to meet our friends here in the studio, and they were nice enough to let us come in here. So it definitely helps to build your network.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, I've noticed that most pivotal moments in my life have come after just random meetings with people. So, you know, that's one thing that I would stress here is that if you're not networking, get out there and do that, because you never know who you're going to meet and where it's going to take you.
Right.
And what are some advice you could give for networking? Because obviously you've had brilliant firsthand experience, and that's been a pivotal point for you growing your company.
So I try to network using any source that I can. Mm-hmm. So there's an app called Shaper that mm-hmm. I'm on. So, and I send people messages on there, or I get messages on there. But I found that LinkedIn is a really great networking app. And it, you know, it sounds cliche, but I've had really good success on LinkedIn. And I'll give you just a quick story, or as quick as I can be. There was, I saw an article on mm-hmm. On Yik Yak, and there was an expert opinion in Yik Yak from one of the top attorneys here in Atlanta, mm-hmm. and I've really wanted to meet him for, you know, several months. I've not had the opportunity to get in front of him, but instead, what I did was sent him an email and said, "Hey, I just read your." The piece on Yik Yak where you know gave your opinion, mm-hmm. really enjoyed it. It brought up, you know, questions X, Y, and Z. You think we could get together for coffee or whatever, and I can ask you some of those questions, pick your brain." To my surprise, he said absolutely. So my advice is to just reach out to people and try to find some way to connect with them. Don't send a message and say, "Hey, let's go to coffee. I want to mm-hmm. get my resume in front of you." Try to find something that resonates with them and build that relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yes, wow. It's definitely got to be a kind of personal connection. You can't just shamelessly market yourself.
Yeah, most people don't want to hear a sales pitch, but if they feel like they can help you in some way, they're all for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So something that I guess both of you can relate to is it was never just like a sharp transition from one thing to the other. So it was a sense of balancing time and starting things up while you were doing something else. And can you explain how balancing your time and balancing time between customers and how that worked for you?
Yeah, balancing time is very crucial, especially, mm-hmm. I mean, currently I have school. I was fully employed at Ashley, and then I was trying to start up Keller Guitars as well.
Wow.
Sometimes you really do have to, you know, choose which one is most valuable to you.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there is a skill to balancing the time between mm-hmm. those, but I did eventually leave my work at Ashley to give more effort to Keller Guitars. Yeah. Being as close as I am to graduation, though, I had to finish out school.
I'm sure that was a great day walking out.
It was.
Some people walk out with a little, anger towards a company, but you walking out with your head held high, that's probably a great time.
Yeah, and it was on good terms and whatnot, but... as far as balancing the time while having all those things going on,
mm-hmm.
I honestly just made an Excel sheet of what I was doing hour by hour. And I literally, every Sunday night, I had to fill out that Excel sheet and I had to stick to it, or else I wouldn't, everything would just get jumbled up, or I'd miss this test, or I wouldn't study enough.
I can completely relate to that. I live and die by my calendar and my little agenda sheet. And if I didn't have that, I don't know how I'd do anything. But can you explain like what your process is and what you do? And because everyone has their own little process and how it works, and I have my way of organizing things. And so what's your process?
My main thing is that Excel sheet. So mm-hmm. I literally print it out, I type it up and print it out every Sunday,
mm-hmm.
Stick to it. And just every single thing that I'm going to be doing throughout that week, I've noted down so I don't.
And it's just a week by week process, something that you always do.
Yeah. It helps extremely well. It's very simple. But keeps me on track.
Yeah, so consistency and just be organized. And for you, Joe?
When I started the car club and then the first business, I had a new family at the time, a young baby.
Wow.
I was working full-time and going to school in the architecture program full time. So time management was absolutely critical. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were times where I wouldn't sleep. Now, I wouldn't recommend that, but there were times where I wouldn't sleep for yeah. you know, days on end.
Yeah.
Now I agree. I live and die by my calendar. I have an Excel spreadsheet, and I try to get up every morning and mm-hmm. and go through what the tasks are for the day and prioritize. And there are tasks that that need to get done, but then there are tasks that if I don't get those done, it's okay. I can push them off. But the other important thing is scheduling time for yourself, right? Mm. So in my calendar, I schedule an hour every day to exercise, and it's right there. It's the same every day. And if it's not on the calendar, then it's not going to happen. So I make absolutely sure that it's there. As entrepreneurs and as very busy people, we often forget that mm-hmm. exercise and taking time for ourselves is really important, or we can burn out very easily. Mm-hmm. So.
Right. Yeah. So, and something for me, because I do that too. And everyone, like I said, everyone has a different process. But one of the challenges I have is sometimes when you list that calendar out and you have it organized and everything, it's great because you can see what you have to do. But man, sometimes like you get some days, it's like, yeah, this is all fun and everything. I got this. And some days it's like, that is a mountain to climb. So what are some ways that you guys get through that when you see that mountain?
I mean, you have to...
Brian?
Yeah. You have to have the just do it mentality, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like he had mentioned, it is very important to put in just exercise, or mm-hmm. I even have a blue square for my Excel sheet that I can paste like free time in. So every once in a while, I'll have like an hour of free time. Mm-hmm. And when those, free time bubbles come up,
yeah.
It makes those slots even more valuable. And if you don't have those, you'll burn out. But
mm-hmm.
if you got it on the schedule, I mean, you got to get it done. Just have a just do it mentality.
And is the schedule kind of flexible, like within what you want to get done within the day, depending on what's going on? Or is it like at this time I do this, this time I do that? What's your process?
I mean, it's fairly flexible, but mm-hmm. I make sure I get everything done yeah. by the end of the day.
Interesting.
I guess I'm probably a little bit more strict to it than most, maybe, but.
Yeah, just being consistent, having a goal. And I guess this kind of leads to one of my favorite questions, but what drives you to do this? Because it takes, the one thing about being an entrepreneur that's I think key to everybody that is it's that like fire in your chest. It's just that drive. And when it hits, when it hits, and when it's there, that's the power behind it. So what is your drive? What drives you, Brian?
When I first started out, when I did the painting company, it was honestly because I couldn't get a job. I applied to a lot of places in high school
mm-hmm.
and wasn't getting hired anywhere. So I went out and kind of was forced to make my own money if I wanted to, get a car, or build up any sort of finances. And then once I got the taste of that entrepreneurship, I really began to, mm-hmm. have a passion for it. I really noticed that when I went back to Ashley Furniture
mm-hmm.
and I had to, abide by their schedule
yeah.
and go into work. And once I did that for long enough, I said, okay, I liked the entrepreneur lifestyle. Let me go back to that because it is really empowering to have your own schedule, mm-hmm. Wake up and do whatever you need to do,
mm-hmm.
Build a dream that you have, not somebody else has. And then the thing that Chris Hanks talks about a lot is yeah. living by design, not by mm-hmm. default.
Yeah.
I like that as well.
Yeah, just another interesting thing. Me and Brian are actually going on that retreat this weekend and really looking forward to it.
Yeah,
you excited about it?
I am.
Yeah. What are you expecting?
I really don't know what to expect. I'm hoping to... It looks like it's designed mm-hmm. to allow us to dig into our whys a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So why we do entrepreneurship, why we kind of want to choose this route opposed to a 9-to-5 job. And I'm excited to, dig into that a little bit more as well.
Yeah, because he's been very secretive about it, give us very little information, but that's the beauty of Chris Hanks. So yeah, I'm excited. And just to shift gears a little bit here, Joe, I had a question for you. When you consult for people, what are some of the key things that I guess that you've noticed that a lot of people need help with? What are some of the key things that people...
Just getting started. I mean, it's almost like... it's that fear, the mm-hmm. fear of the unknown, right? So, I'm working with someone right now and she needed to get her business plan going, but she sat on that that thought and that process for a month because she didn't know how to get started. So I got my MBA from Kennesaw, and I have tons of books and resources. So there's this one book that I have that was on writing a business plan. So I brought the book to her, walked her through a couple of sections that she needed to see. And from there, she took off with it and had it done in, you know, 2 weeks, where she'd been sitting on it for 6 weeks or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's really just shining that light on the unknown and giving them that little push to, you know, it's okay to get started, you know, just do it.
So it sounds like your method's more about like teach a man to fish, you know, or a woman to fish. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's something that resonates with me because I work in a tutoring lab, and I don't just like helping people with like, hey, this answer to this question. I like to give them the study skills because and just like tips that I've had over the years, because it comes down to, just like you guys have said, it comes down to a routine, a strategy, and just sticking to that. So yeah.
Go
ahead, Alex.
So when people are trying to come up with a business, do you essentially help people that kind of know what they want to do with their business plan? Or have you ever had to work with someone that has just no idea what they want to do and you have to build from the ground up?
I work with people who have no idea what they want to do all the time. So the most recent case of that is I do a lot of career coaching. So I met with this guy about a month ago. And when we sat down, he was like, I have no idea what I want to do. He's like, I know I'm not happy doing what I'm doing now, but I don't know what I want to do next. And he said, if I hear one more person tell me follow my passions, I'm going to choke them. I'm like, okay, I'll try to remember that. But, you know, that's kind of what we search for. But anyway, so we had our first meeting, and by the end of that first meeting, he was fired up about what we had talked about. He had described wanting to get into the music business and doing like road tour management and those kinds of things, which is a complete 180 from what he's doing now. But that was something that he had never thought that could be a viable option for him. And just by talking with him for an hour, I mean, he's now on that path to making it happen.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and especially because you're helping people. I mean, the hardest part, as we know from multiple professors that have spoken to us, the hardest part is always just getting started.
You know? The hardest part about starting a business is starting it.
Yep.
And just like you said here, from like the experience side versus like learning it in class and it comes together again, this is amazing. This is what this show's about.
Yeah.
Because like you can have two completely different people that, you know, they know what they want to do, but they just can't get started, or they have no idea what they want to do and they can't get started. And they're kind of in the same boat, essentially.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I love working with both scenarios. So, yeah.
And I mean, we mentioned before about starting out and transitioning from just, say, like a friendship to a consulting business. But now that you're more established, you've built credibility. How does bringing on new clients at this point, and how does how do like payments work? How exactly does that process work?
I still do it the old fashioned way. So meeting with people and building that relationship. And then either 3 months down the road, they'll say, hey, I've got somebody who really should talk to you, or, you know, you really should talk to. Or they'll say, hey, there's something that I've been thinking about for a year, and I want to see if you can help me with it. So it's just, you know, it's the same way I've always done it. That organic word of mouth, you know, through the relationship.
Yeah.
Right.
So essentially you're the fire guy. You're the startup guy that just gets that. And that's brilliant. I love it.
Yeah. That's what I get that comment all the time. That I'll get a text after I've met with somebody and they say, I was so fired up about our conversation. You know, thank you for meeting with me or whatever. So yeah, I take a lot of pride in that.
Hmm. Wow. Yeah. I don't think Smokey the Bear approves of that, but yeah, only you can start fires. Yeah. I guess for you, Brian, in terms of, I guess, pricing strategies and things like that, how have you tackled that?
So building the prototype, I got to see a lot of the pricing structure of the pieces. We're trying to build a high quality guitar that is affordable to a lot of different guitar players. So we do have a couple different ranges, but it really just depends on the types of wood and what goes into the piece.
Yeah.
So it's very flexible with the pricing.
And for listeners like me that do not know a lot about guitars, I mean, I have a guitar. I got it a couple of years ago. But I mean, other than collecting dust and looking like, you know, I might play a guitar every now and then until people ask me the question, you know, but I never really learned. One of these days I will get out there and learn. But for people like me, Can you explain like the different types of woods and what that means? And yeah.
So generally like a basic guitar that you see at like Walmart is just fake wood that's laminated to look like wood. We use all real woods. So,
And does that have an effect on the sound?
It does.
Okay.
So that affects the sound, the durability, the longevity of, you know, how long that piece will last. So using all real woods gives you the best authentic acoustic sound, which is what we like to do specifically for the top as well. A solid spruce top is generally your best sounding.
That's awesome. Sounds like you haven't cut any corners and you just want to get a quality product out there.
Yeah, our main goal is to make a quality sound. Our company slogan is "Praise Him with Something Beautiful."
Yeah.
So we truly want to make a musical instrument that sounds great for those worship artists.
Wow, that's amazing. And I guess something also, another question I had was advertising. Social media is a very strong and efficient and cheap tool of advertising now. And there's so many different ways you can tackle that. And I'm sure that's something you've incorporated into your businesses. Can you explain, Brian, how you use social media to market your company?
Yeah, of course. So we are on Instagram and Facebook mostly. We do have a bit of a following on there at Keller Guitar, if you want to check it out.
Okay.
It's awesome because you can, you know, visually show your customers, you know, new products or updates with the business, what's coming out. But our main source of promotion and whatnot is mostly through worship leaders. I mean, you want to hear the sound of a guitar.
Yeah.
And we've been giving away the guitars to some worship artists and leaders that, you know, really love our products. So they can just enjoy them, you know, tell their friends about them and use them to worship the Lord.
It's great marketing. And you mentioned that you, mostly through social media, you promote on Facebook and Instagram. Are there differences in how you approach the marketing on those two different platforms? Is it more or less the same? Like, do you just post the same thing on Facebook that you do on Instagram, or is it kind of different?
There is a lot of the same postings. Facebook, I think, is starting to veer more towards actual retail. So there is retail on Facebook now. And then it also links to like our Kickstarter and our actual website page. And Instagram is really just so you can follow along with the company, see what's going on, see our new products and whatnot.
Wow.
It's more visual.
Yeah. And for you, Joe?
So I have a couple of web pages, of course, but for social media, I use it mainly for brand building. I don't do a lot of selling, or I don't do any selling through social media, and I don't even think I have an Instagram account.
Yeah, you mentioned before more word of mouth.
Yeah. So for me, social media is about brand building. So, you know, I do a podcast. So when I post up an episode or whatever, I put it on Twitter, or I'm part of a lot of groups on Facebook that are related to consulting or you know, whatever. So if I see a topic that's relevant, I'll post in there, post something that's valuable as opposed to spam. And then a lot of times people will contact me and say, "Hey, that was great advice. You know, what do? You know, whatever." So for me, social media is more about brand building as opposed to sales.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I guess it goes with the type of company, you know, service versus products. It just depends, and you just got to find your niche. But I guess, to wrap the show up, I have a question I want each of you to answer. So, Brian, if there's one thing that you know now that you wish you knew when you were starting out, what would that be?
We've talked about it a lot, but it's really just do it. I spend a lot of time, you know, thinking about how I'm going to do it beforehand. And I mean, there's a lot of value to that, but, you know, once you have that game plan, just do it.
Yeah.
And don't just say you're going to do it. So if you, you know, have your calendar.
What would be your advice for people to go from that idea phase to the do it phase?
I mean, it's small steps. So, I mean, a lot of people advise against, you know, starting out with creating an LLC or starting an S-Corp, whatever. But I actually went ahead and just went on the business thing and wanted to check to see if it was available. So I looked up Keller Guitars and just, you know, sent $100 and there was Keller Guitars LLC. And once it was created, that kind of gave me some reassurance that like, okay, I've now started. It's now an LLC. Let's build from there. So then I went to the website and the social medias and then eventually the suppliers.
Just a snowball effect from that one pivotal point.
Wow. Yeah.
That's incredible. And for you, Joe?
One thing that I didn't realize early on was the importance of my network. And we talked about that earlier. But again, I want to just stress that when I started out, I thought that I could do it all by myself and that I was smart enough. I was good enough. And I could just, you know, power my way through it, which it may have been true, but that is probably the least efficient way to do it, because there's a learning curve and, you know, a lot of other things. So build your network, find people who have been there and done that before, and build a relationship with them, and don't be afraid to ask them for help, because 9 times out of 10, they're more than willing to do so.
Mm-hmm. Right. If you do everything yourself, that's a really good way to burn yourself out.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And just everyone kind of like that's a huge buzzword is networking. And for a lot of different people in a lot of different areas, that can mean a lot of different things. So how do you define networking?
Building your strength. So like if you have areas that you're not good at, then finding people who are good at that kind of thing, and then mm-hmm. learning from them. Mm-hmm. So reaching out to people, building those relationships to help build your resources.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, use network as a tool for continual learning. Well, that's amazing. So yeah, I want to thank you guys for coming out today. And for our listeners, if there's any way they want to contact you, what would be the best way to contact you?
You can reach me at on Twitter at Joe C. Guthrie, or my email is joe@avrianllc.com. That's AVRIANLLC.com.
And Joe, you also mentioned that you have a podcast. If our listeners want to listen to that, what's the best way for them to reach that?
Just search on iTunes or Stitcher, and you can search for Reach Out and Inspire.
All right.
Reach Out and Inspire. Awesome. Thank you.
And Brian.
Yeah, if you want to find Keller Guitars on social media, so Instagram, Facebook, it's just at Keller Guitar. And then if you want to see some of our products, just go to www.thekellerguitar.com.
And awesome. Also, just one quick question. When are we going to expect that launch? When can you get that first guitar?
So we're actually accepting pre-orders right now, as I mentioned, on Kickstarter. They are about $200 to $300 off mm-hmm. on Kickstarter, opposed to when they hit retail. So definitely check that out. It's on our Facebook page and whatnot if you want to make a pre-order. And very soon, we're actually going to be implementing custom verses as well.
Oh, wow.
Exciting. Really awesome. Exciting. Yeah, definitely look into that.
Well, like I said, thanks again so much, guys, for coming out. Once again, I'm Darren Parkinson.
And I'm Alex Stoker.
And we're Business Radio U, pushing knowledge further by spotlighting the best in business.